This is Sunday morning, 7/2/23. This is a teaching called Neither Give Place to the Devil. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. The Lord's already talked to us. I think it was it Wednesday night. Let me look, since I've got Wednesday night's teaching right here. I don't know if it was or not. But talking about not aiding and abetting the enemy. In other words, just doing things that make us vulnerable to the attacks of the enemy. All right, Ephesians 4. All right, 26. It says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Place here means a spot, a location, a position, an opportunity. This isn't a physical battle. I don't care how nasty some people are at times. The devil will send people that like that into your life to get you to react and get in the flesh and give place to the devil. All right, 2 Corinthians 10. I mean, anybody that's has somebody railing on them, of course your flesh starts to get ruffled. I remember Brother Hagin, he had all these deacons. Their kids were horrible. They'd sit in the back and make noises and be disruptive, and the parents would do nothing about it. And after church, they were all outside, and he walked up to them and said, if I catch you doing this in the service again, I'm going to take you to the sheriff, and he's going to put you on the farm, the county farm, to work. Because the parents weren't doing anything, and some of them deacons got in his face, and Brother Hagin got up and did the guy's face and got with his feet on, shoes on his toes, I mean, right in his face. And the guy backed down. Just because you're a preacher don't mean that you can't handle things sometimes when you need to. When you thought a preacher just got to be kicked around and just kicked from pillar to post. We can't say nothing, can't do nothing. That's a problem of the church today. No, we are warriors. We operate by love, but we can get tough if we need to. You know, love is tough. Love says, you're not going to do that. Think about it. All right here. 2 Corinthians 10. We're not going to whip the devil by getting mad at people and, you know, acting as bad as they are worse. And I've seen Christian people, church people act worse than any people I've ever seen in the world. I'm telling you for sure. All right. 2 Corinthians 10, 3. Though we walk in the flesh, we all have a flesh to contend with, right? All of us. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Punching their lights out is not the answer. Unless, of course, they're going to harm somebody and you have to step in and intervene. That's a different story. But they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. In other words, not letting your thoughts override. You still have to tune into the Spirit and walk by the Spirit. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought. In other words, you're in full control of your emotions. That's what the mind is. Well, the mind, will, and the emotions is your soul. Every thought through the obedience of Christ. So it has to do with thoughts. Bringing those thoughts in control and maintaining your cool when somebody else is erupting. Well, I'll talk to you later. Bye. See, now, it's one thing, if they're giving place to the devil, don't let what they're doing cause you to get out of the Spirit. Yeah. All right. Not a physical battle, but a mental battle. Absolutely, totally. Okay, go over to Luke 10. verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. What was the good part Mary chose? The word. What was the part Martha chose? That sorry brat sister of mine, she never does anything to help me. I'm here to do it all. I just do it all. Nobody does anything but me. It wasn't just the pots that were stewing on the stove that day. She was stewing just like her pots. Is that giving place to the devil? Yeah. Satan's inroad here is strife. Jesus said she was careful and troubled about many things. Care caused her to get in strife. Care. All right? Martha's thinking, here I am here doing all of this for my lazy sister. Least she can do is help me. That's what she was saying to Jesus. Do something about her. Lord said, no, you do something about your attitude. She's chosen the best. She's not going to be taken away from her. Yeah. That'll ruffle some feathers. Especially when you're the Martha. Yeah. All right. God knows that we have things that we have to take care of, but he also provides grace to do those things when we stay in the Spirit and not get in strife. One thing the Lord spoke to me last night, because I'd been under such heavy attack, I was saying, I'm not going to be able to do this like this. He said, don't forget, I've graced you to do the things I've asked of you, not all that other that you add. And I thought, well said. So whatever he's required me to do, he graces me to do it. But if I add all these other things and I exhaust myself, then he says, I'm not obligated to grace that. Now I know we have to do things, and the Lord knows we have to do things. But sometimes, is it really necessary? Or do we just push ourselves? And then we get out of sorts. I must be hitting home today. All right. At all costs, the devil wants us out of the Spirit. And getting in the flesh and fighting with people and exhausting ourselves. And, you know, he's just all about killing, stealing, and destroying. Never forget that. All right, Psalms 133. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments. As the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountain of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. In other words, unity brings the anointing. A body of Christ in unity, there will be unstoppable. So why? Now he wants us to bite and devour each other. Yeah, Satan's inroad. The devil loves it when you get God's children fighting with each other. Yeah, Jesus didn't rebuke Mary, but commended her that she chose wisely and it would not be taken from her, that she chose to stick with the word. What is the real problem here? Remember the Care Bear snare? Now it's on the Kleenex box. I don't think it's on these. the little boutique tissue says, take care. No thanks. Any little dig, any little something in your face, a counter narrative to what God's word says. Take no thought saying, right? All right. What is the real problem here? It's what you're taking. Are you taking the word or are you taking the care? Yeah. Jesus said that a house divided against itself cannot stand. Isn't that what this is? Martha's attitude completely cut off her blessings. She could have been in there listening to Jesus, and Jesus probably said, well, you girls, let's all get in there and let's just do this together. You know, that's probably what would have happened. But no, we'd rather suffer as a martyr over here. All right, Mark 3:25. Or get somebody come in there, what's the matter, Martha? Before you know it, you know. All right, 3:25. And if a house divided against itself, that house cannot stand. The church has been a divided house. It means to disunite or to part. That's the enemy's goal, is to disunite us and tear us apart. Because the anointing's on being united, right? We just read it. All right. Go to 1 Peter. Chapter 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Yeah, when you get proud, that's when you start fussing at the Lord and saying, why don't you do something? Isn't that what Martha did concerning Mary? You mean tell her to come in here and help me. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves therefore into the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all, how much? All your care. All your care upon him, for he careth for you. In other words, he's doing the caring. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So what is it that we're to resist? Care. It's a snare. Them little care bears sure were cute, but they had an agenda behind them, just like a lot of things. Yeah. All right. Care here means through the idea of distraction or solicitude. Solicitude is a state of being concerned and anxious. Jesus said not to take thought about tomorrow because it would take care of itself. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. In other words, whatever you're dealing with today, don't go past that. Sitting there thinking about the future and worrying, what in the world am I going to do? You're just opening yourself up to the devil. You're giving place to the devil. And he doesn't have a good agenda for you. I can already tell you that. Only God has a good plan. And he asked us to go no further than today. Here you want to go, well, 6 months, what am I going to do in a year, what am I going to do even next week? What's that done? Well, it's disuniting you from the flow of the Spirit right into the devil's hand so he can terrorize you even more than he's already trying to do. We're not made to carry the load of care, not even for one day. And the Lord says he'll take care of it for that day. All right, well, go read this. I've read this probably more than any other passage in the Bible, is Matthew 6. I taught for several years on care alone. Just because it's such a big thing. If you look around you, health care, this care, that care, that care. When you know why they put care on the end of it? Because they want you in care. They want you carrying the care. Why? Because it breaks you down. There's some people wouldn't know how to live if they weren't seeking out care every day and loading up their plate. It's bitter. Why in the world would you want it? All right, this is 6:24. No man can serve two masters. You see it? What I'm saying? Two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. In other words, you cannot carry a load of care and then expect the Lord to take care of it. You got to relinquish that to him. That's why Peter said, casting all your care. Because the devil's wanting to devour you. So in the sense of taking the care, that's where he can get in and devour you. All right. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Think about that. Nothing about your life should you take a thought for. I'm going, wow. Nothing. What you shall eat. Oh, I could go all day on just this subject, and y'all know I could. Every time you turn on any social media, it's in some new something. They've poisoned some new something that's bad for you. Oh, now it's all in the air. It's a bunch of hooey-balooey. And besides that, even if you believe it's true, well, thank you, Lord. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High. You're a shield. 1,000 may fall on my side, 10,000 my right hand, but it's not going to come near me. Your shedding's not going to come near me. Your whatever, your nitrate, whatever fires are burning. It just never ends. It's a never-ending story with these people and the fake news. And even the truthers are getting on board with it. They'd rather spout the fear and the crap and the care so they can sell their Patriot Supply. All their new concoctions. It's all about the money, honey. That's why I like to listen to truthers that are upbeat. And they know that this has already happened and know God is truly in control of this. This is his reset. That's what I like. Some of them are good programmers, but they start that negative stuff and I exit stage right. I know, they boycott everything. Most of the Christians boycott everything. And they've become judge and jury. All of them need to be taken to Gitmo and killed yesterday. I'm thinking, who's the righteous judge? They're judge, jury, and executioner. Forget Crandall. Who needs General Crandall when we've got the Christians ready to do it? We don't know what spirit we're of, do we? Carefree. Love is our motto. His banner over me is love. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? I watched, we have a lot of birds around here, and last night I got a little fretful about the little doves sitting up there on that light and the one in the tree, because that storm blew in, but they were fine. I prayed and the Lord, you know, watched over them, and they're fine. They're still in their nest today. But it says here, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? a lot of what this fiery process the firewalkers go through is this process of realizing Father's care and relinquishing our care. He's burning that stuff out of us where we're fearless, where we could walk right into the flames like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? See, the nature, they know who God is. They're smarter than humans. And maybe they don't have a devil to contend with like we do because they don't go through that process. But, I mean, they don't even take a thought that they're not going to be a worm there. They just live. I heard someone say this, and it's very, very true. If you're looking at tomorrow, you're not enjoying today. You're not living today. And I thought, you know, that's the absolute truth. That's in another realm, another time, and we shouldn't even go there. We should just deal with today. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know, I've said this many times, I'll say it again. When you get to seeking God's kingdom first and taking care of his business, then he will take care of your business. I think it'll be automatic. No fretting required. Just do what he told you to do. Like stay in your lane. Do what he's told you to do. And don't listen to anybody tell you that you're not hearing or you're not doing or whatever, because how do they know? They don't. They're not in your lane. They're in their lane. They just want to be busybodies like Martha, getting Mary's lane. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So if you're thinking about tomorrow and all you got to do, and I don't know what's going to happen, and all that, it's evil, it says. Evil. Keep it in today. All right, Matthew 13, 11. No, 13:22, excuse me. This is the parable of the sower. It says, he also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Yeah, care will flat choke it out. And in this case, it did. You can't have it both ways. It's a choice right here, two masters. Yeah. All right, Hebrews chapter 4. Start with verse 1 there. It says, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. And he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. They were worrywarts. Oh, take us back to Egypt. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God, for he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. So, not resting in God is unbelief. It gets you into unbelief. That's the other camp. You don't believe. You don't believe God can take care of you. You know, really, we're going to have to get used to this because this is the way the kingdom is going to be. We're going to return to Eden. Well, there wasn't any concern about anything. All right, Strong's here. Rest means reposing down. Settle down. Colonize and desist. The repose of Christianity as a type of heaven. Those are three different places in the Strong's that had the word rest. I like this one. The repose of Christianity as a type of heaven. That was the garden, right? Heaven and earth? The garden?